night, right? What do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night, Pinky. Try to take over the world.
Hey friends, welcome back to another episode of the Amber May Show. I am glad you were joining me today because I have Michael Young. He's an embedded journalist that has been shedding the light on the migrants, the illegal immigrants flooding our nation. And he spends a great deal of time in the Darien Gap and he shares a lot of information with us on this show. The man has traveled the world. He has seen a lot. And he's going to get into all the things that he has been noticing and seeing, including a possible food shortage. So all that's coming up on today's show. So like, share, and subscribe. If you believe in what I'm doing, please consider becoming an angel investor. And the easiest way to do that is going to theambermayshow.com, hit the donate button, and donate whatever you feel you can donate. Or give you a $5 monthly subscriber by going to theambermayshow.locals.com. I always add more content. Join me on Telegram at The Amber May Show. I'm on True Social Amber May, Frank Social Amber May, and Clout Hub. Find me on those locations. But you guys have to go see the General Flynn movie. The links are in the description. Or if you go to theambermayshow.com, hit the promo button, you're going to find links to the General Flynn movie. It is phenomenal. He names names. Everyone needs to go see this film. So check out the links below to find the film. Or go to theambermayshow.com, hit the promo section, and you can catch the film there. Well, without any further ado, I'd love to welcome Michael Young to the program. Well, friends, like I told you, I have Michael Young joining us today. I am so excited about this interview. I am so excited to be talking to you. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me on, Amber. Since Biden was installed, I've spent a good 6 months in Panama, right? Yep. A lot of that in the Darien Gap and a lot of that I'm the one that took people like Ben Bergwam and Oscar Blue, Laura Loomer, Brett Weinstein, Epoch Times. It's Operation Burning Edge. Ann Vandersteel, Masako Ganaha, and we take people down there, right? I took Ann the first time. She's been four times now. Masako has been probably, I don't know, a dozen or 15 times. I don't even know. Masako goes out. She's very knowledgeable. And so she's been taking that knowledge back to Japan. That's why Masako goes and sees these things in Europe, and she sees them in Bahamas and up in Canada. Let me tell you about Canada. After the last trip to Darien, again, we went to Tennessee, did the Tucker thing, went down to Florida and down to the Bahamas. The Bahamas is America's third border, right? Mm-hmm. We've got the border on the south where you're at, which is obviously an invasion route. There is no border anymore. It's a place called border, right? Uh-huh. It's an area called border, right? And now in Bahamas, China is building a huge embassy there, as are we, actually, United States. I was just at both of them, right? And China has already bought that harbor, the container port right off Florida, right? I mean, that's such a military vulnerability. It's over the top, right? And so it's only like 60 or 70 miles off Florida, right? That actual harbor. So we have Haitians and Chinese coming up on the Florida beaches all the time, right through Bahamas, right? So anyway, we left there and went up to Canada. Canada is now, we flew first to Toronto. Toronto, it has a lot of signs there for you at the airport for Ukrainians landing, and a bunch of chairs lined up where the Ukrainians come and they sit down and they get in processed, and now here you are, here's all your IDs, you're Canadian, right? Or however that unfolds. And I went there and videotaped and anyway, saw some of that. But then we flew from there, and actually a lot of Toronto is already taken. The demographic shift has already reached a critical mass. I mean, it's there, right? And with Indians and Chinese and others, right? It's not the Canada that a lot of people may remember. It's not the Canada that I saw in my early traveling days up in Canada. So then from there, we flew to a place called, from Toronto, we flew to Northwest Territories, which is up in the north of Canada. We flew to Yellowknife, which is the capital of Northwest Territories. It's 250 miles from the Arctic Circle. 250 miles from the Arctic Circle is Yellowknife. It's a small town. The first time I went there was about 1984, maybe, when I just graduated from the Defense Language Institute in California and drove up to Yellowknife. Look how far that drive is. It's like driving across America, mm-hmm. but you're going towards the Arctic Circle, right? Mm-hmm. And so we went up there. And now when we just went, it's filled with a lot of Africans 250 miles from the Arctic Circle, tons of Africans. Every taxi driver that we had for about a week were from Eritrea or Somalia, Uganda, that sort of thing. So it's filled with Africans and Indians and Chinese, right? And some, a lot of First Nation people who have severe alcohol problems and are being, you know, basically, anyway, not to go into that. So bottom line is, that's an important area because the Northwest Passage, you know, the, you know, by the North Pole, the Arctic Circle, right? Mm-hmm. That is a potential and future major shipping lane, you know, with the icebreakers that the Russians and the Chinese are up there, you know, building up their presence and abilities in that area, because this can be a major route. Remember, these wars are all about routes and resources of many sorts, right? And so it's oligarchical fights over these routes and resources, right? So they're destabilizing Canada to take it, in part to go after the United States and just keep Canada, Canada's prime real estate, and to that Northwest Passage, right? And so they've already split it off, some of the Inuit, into a place called Nunavut, which is now, Nunavut is a, is sort of, Nunavut is in that photo right there, but I don't see it marked. But it's, anyway, the bottom line is they're working hard to split apart all the First Nation people all over the world, whether it's here in Japan with the Ainu, or, you know, down in Guatemala with, you know, Mayans or whatever. We were in Guatemala recently as well, looking at in Honduras and El Salvador. We look at this everywhere. We go to these places, right? Belize, in a different, watching this information war unfold. So the bottom line is, they're working to take Canada for many reasons. One is to then take the United States and set conditions to take the United States, take that Northwest Passage, take the resources, of course. And so from Northwest Territories, we flew to Vancouver. Now, the airport at Vancouver is actually in a town called Richmond. Richmond is now, it's in the Vancouver airport is actually in Richmond, not Vancouver. Vancouver's right next door. Richmond is now Chinese. It's China, right? Just call it China. And then right next to Richmond is Surrey. Just call that India. So you've got basically China and India right next to Vancouver, which is China and India and other things, like a lot of Iranians there. We went to Chinatown. Chinatown in Vancouver is quite interesting. There's a, this was just like in the last 10 days, right? So we were at the Chinatown police station there, and it's marked. There's a Chinese police station, in Chinatown, in Vancouver.
We were there. We had that here in the U.S. in New York, and
it went
on for years before they shut it down.
That's right. And we went to one in London. We went to one in Dublin, and I talk for hours about these things. Well, we went inside of it. It's clearly marked. It's clearly marked that it's a police station, right? We went inside. We talked with them for a while. Now, you walk down the road about 5 minutes, and there's drug addicts everywhere. I mean, like real drug addicts, you know, the ones that are frozen trying to light their pipe. And often they get into this position where they're trying to light a pipe, and they freeze in that "I'm trying to light my pipe" position. And they're giving away free drugs. That I'm talking
like
about
California.
Yeah, they're not just giving like away Oregon. Needles. I've seen them do it in California and Oregon and Washington. I've seen them do it. I physically have been this close. I got some of the needles from them in Oregon. Masako Ganaha and I did. They're giving out actual needles and the rubber things and other paraphernalia that you need to do your drugs, but they weren't giving out the drugs at that time. I don't know if they're giving out drugs, but in Canada, they're giving the actual drugs. They're giving cocaine, right? They're giving drugs.
Well, in Oregon, they made it legal to do hard drugs, and I think they're trying to reach
out. Not just make it legal to do them. I'm saying, clearly, the government is giving them the drugs in the open. We went inside the building. The government is giving them the drugs and injecting them with them. So we went inside. This is like 10 days ago. We went inside and they kicked us out. They got all angry. Outside the front of the place is a bunch of drug addicts laying around in their own, excrement. So that now all around Chinatown, always watch the dragons, right? How many claws does the dragon have, right? If the dragon has three Chinese dragons, if it has three claws, that means China says you're our friend. If it has four claws, it's China saying you're our relative, like our cousin, right? If it has five claws, it's saying China claims that land, right?
I didn't know that. No, let me ask you that.
So all the dragons there have five claws. They all have five claws.
So Patrick Byrne, in a presentation he gave, he said that there's people in China that have picked out our homes from Google Earth that they feel that they're going to take over once they invade and control the United States. Have you heard of any of that?
Yeah, I reported it months ago. Yeah. And Chinese have said that to me, that they, you know, that they have been told, you know, I mean, the Chinese are organized, right? They're like, hey, this is your place. Go to it. Go take it. They're up in Maine right now and California and Oklahoma and California, selling billions of dollars worth of dope, right? Marijuana. Now, people like, this is why I attack Joe Rogan so much. And people get very upset. Why are you going after Joe Rogan? We're on the same team. No, we're not. No, we're not. Joe Rogan comes on there. He's in Texas. He's in Austin, the capital. And all he does, he gets on all these famous guests. And they're talking about drugs. Talking about the best drugs to do. You like marijuana and all this crap, smoking dope with Elon Musk. That's why they're dopa males, right? Dopa males. While the border is being invaded, there is no border, right? It doesn't exist. And they're up there smoking dope, right? And the Chinese are growing the dope. Is he really on our side? I mean, seriously, that's information war at its highest, right? When you got people like Joe Rogan smoking dope in front of millions of young people while the Chinese are growing it and selling it to dumb our people down, which they have effectively done. I've spent most of my time out of the United States, most of my life. I'm from Florida. I grew up in Florida. I've been in every state except Alaska. I've seen the United States in great detail except for Alaska. And I'm very familiar with my country. I'm also familiar with 97 other countries or 98 other countries. I've spent most of my life in Europe and Middle East and Asia, 18 years in Asia. I spent a year in India, a year in Nepal, a year in and around China. You know what I'm saying? Several years in Thailand, 2 years in Iraq, 2.5. I've seen this world, right? I've seen a lot of it. And I realized that these men, mostly men who are coming through the Darien Gap, they will fight. They are high on testosterone. They're not high on dopamine stuff. You know, Joe Rogan's like, yeah, we're doing the UFC stuff. And you're just a punk. These skinny guys coming through the Darien Gap will chop your head off and kick it down the road, right? This is no joke. We are in a state of war. We're being invaded and our enemies are here growing dope, right? Here, literally growing dope to fund their invasion in part. They've already taken Richmond and Canada. It's gone. It's right, you know, and that's just one place. There's many others like that. And you also
talked about Panama's on the brink of going to like dissolving as well, right? Didn't you say something similar to that? Like Panama's on the brink of being destroyed?
Oh yeah. I mean, China's working hard and the globalists, I mean, they wrestle with each other. I mean, they cooperate. The World Economic Forum and the Chinese Communist Party cooperate quite a lot, but they also go loggerheads as well, right?
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break. Hey, friends. New variants means new vaccines and even more scare tactics. You know, Dr. Peter McCullough gets asked all the time, how do I get this out of my body? Well, Spike Support Formula is the only product I've seen that contains ingredients researched to block and dissolve COVID spike protein in the bloodstream. Whether you've got the shot, you're watching research pour in about vaccine shedding, or you've had a bad bout of COVID, Spike Support is a serious concern. And while we won't truly know the extent of the devastating effects for many years, there is something you can do right now to protect yourself. Hundreds of people, vaccinated or not, have reported better mental clarity and increased energy levels. Head to twc.health/AmberMay to buy the wellness company's Spike Support Formula and get back to feeling your best. Use promo code AmberMay at checkout and you will save some money. So that's twc.health/AmberMay to save some money at checkout.
Hey there, I'm Darren.
And I'm Randy.
We're from Patriots with Grit and you're watching The Amber May Show.
Check it out.
The First Amendment is under attack, but did you know you can help protect your constitutional rights by using your cell phone? Patriot Mobile is the only Christian conservative wireless provider that will always support freedom of speech and freedom of religion, and that's why I'm proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you access to all three major networks, which means you can get the same coverage that you've been accustomed to without funding the left. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're supporting organizations like First Liberty, Alliance Defending Fund, Concerned Women for America, and more. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just go to patriotmobile.com/amber or call 972-PATRIOT. Get free activation when you use promo code AMBER at checkout. Join us. Make the switch today. PatriotMobile.com/Amber. That's PatriotMobile.com/Amber or 972-PATRIOT. You are listening to The Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
On different things. So it's an oligarchical fight. They cooperate with each other on some things and not on the other. Look at the death jab that you see the really stupid British royal family pushing so much. I know so many Americans when I was growing up, oh, the royal family, whatever. Listen, why did we even come here, King Charles, right? I mean, the bottom line is the royal family, they were pushing the jab. And now three people in the British royal family have cancer mysteriously. Mm-hmm. Could be a coincidence, not an epidemiologist. But and the crown princess in Thailand, she's down for the count. She had two... She had two Moderna and two AstraZeneca, right? I'm very well. If you look up my name in Thailand, you'll see me flying around with one of the prime ministers. I spent a lot of time in Thailand. I'm very familiar with that country. Thailand is also vital terrain, right? But the bottom line is I'm watching this on a global scale. I'm watching it in detail and granular in many countries like Panama, United States, Netherlands, here in Japan. And so the bottom line is this is global and it's an oligarchical fight. Kings still kill kings on a regular basis. I don't know why the British royal family, three of them have cancer suddenly after they pushed the death jab. Now, a lot of people say, oh, you silly man, they would never take the real one. And I would say, actually, you need to study before you just say these things, right? You need to study. It's very important, right? Because, as a war correspondent, I have studied pandemic extensively before this one, right? Because pandemic, famine, and war, they go together, right? Pandemic, famine, war, they go together. If you get a big war, you will always get pandemic and famine, always, right? Likewise, that's why it's in the Bible, the four horsemen, right? One of the horsemen is death, right? But the other, pandemic, famine, and war, right? And so they go together. They knew it. Our elders knew it more than 2,000 years ago, and they put it in the Bible. They knew it so well, right? If you get a big pandemic, you will get war and famine, right? Anyway, they always go together. It's like a triangle. And so one of the things I found before this pandemic, I had read about 40 books on pandemic, about 40, right? It took years, but I've read a lot because when I'm in the wars, I'm like, here comes a typhus again, or here comes some other disease, right? And so I've just studied. It's taken many years. But during the pandemic, during the lockdown, I read about 20 more than 20 more on pandemic, right? So I've read more than 60 now on pandemic. So I can, when I'm sitting with virologists or immunologists or epidemiologists, I can hold my own. I don't care how many PhDs they've got, and I'll tell you why. And I've looked far and wide. I have not found anybody who studied pandemicology. Right? Like the study of pandemic, because there's virology and bacteriology and all that, mycology and all that stuff, epidemiology, of course. But who has actually studied pandemic, right? Like famine. I have not found a famineologist. I have not found a pandemicologist, right? Because there are certain things that happen during pandemics that are separated from the causal bodies that may be a virus or a bacteria or whatever, they're separate from that. The behaviors that humans have during one of those behaviors is rich people die in larger numbers. I've just noticed that in so many books. Oh yeah, big time, big time. I'll give you an example of where I think I may have seen this unfold in real life. I was in Panama, flying up to Mexico with Masako Ganaha and Chuck Colton, my friend, war correspondent, our mutual friend. We were flying up there to interview a Haitian family that we had met in Colombia. Anyway, sitting beside me on the plane from Panama was a girl in her young 20s and her brother in his young 20s. They're both Brazilian university students, right? Mm-hmm. And we talked for a while. Their English was very good. And they were actually flying to Mexico to do, as I recall, to do a small vacation. And then they were going up to United States to get the jab and then fly back to Brazil to school, right? And so, and they're obviously quite wealthy, right? So they're literally jumping the line to get the jab because they've got, I said to them, you're obviously quite wealthy. I mean, I can tell by everything about you, you know what I mean? And let me tell you something. I know you probably won't remember me, but maybe you will. People like you who have the means to jump the line. If you've got gold, the cure will come. The cure will come. If you've got the gold, somebody will be there to take that and separate that gold from you, right? And so here's the miracle cure, right? So I've just seen in time after time after time, historically, with not just pandemic, just diseases in general, that there's always somebody out there that says, I've got a cure for what ails you. Give me some gold, right? And so what you'll see, remember when the death jabs first unrolled, you saw, I mean, privately, you may have heard people and some publicly like, hey, I pulled some strings and we got it first. My family got it first. That's right from that pattern of the wealthy and the privileged and the powerful people jumping the line and getting the miracle cure. Look, the British royal family and somebody from the Thai family, and there's a lot of people that would like to take out the British family and the Thai family, right? Oligarch versus oligarch. Now, the Thai princess who's down for the count, she's not coming back. She's still alive. Her body's still alive, but she's in a vegetative state. I've talked with somebody. Anyway, the bottom line is she's not coming back. And she was a potential, she was the greatest hope to keep that line alive in Thailand. Thailand's very important to me. I live in King Rama the Ninth was the right. The royal family is under attack. And because they know if the royal family is split, you can split Thailand, right? And likewise with the British royal family look at these idiots. I mean, let's call them what they are. Let's use the right words. I know my grandmother will be upset. Don't call somebody an idiot, but I'm just going to use it, right? I mean, they have flooded their own family and their own country with Africa and Asia, you know, and Afghanistan, right? Their own country is now becoming, it's not, their kingdom is gone. They've destroyed it. They're so stupid that they literally invaded their own kingdom. I mean, that's how nobody ever sees the cult that they're in, right? We can see the cult that everybody else is in. Mm-hmm. You can see King Charles out there with Klaus Schwab back when they were younger and they're being, you know, the big shots, you know, and there they are. Klaus Schwab must have been thinking, you stupid British guy, where you Germans are finally going to get you. You know what I mean?
Well, that's what I feel about the people here that are in political power. They're destroying themselves because them destroying the United States, they're destroying their power. So it doesn't make sense to me why they're going along with this plan.
It's easy.
Okay.
It's easy. I've studied cults quite a lot, right? And when I was in special forces, the old timers who would be like in their 40s, they would often say, you need to study world religions, study cults. And I'm like, study cults. I mean, this is special forces anyway, but I did take that to heart. They never steered me wrong. And sometimes it took a while for the seed to grow that they planted, but they did grow. And so now I've studied cults quite a lot in places like India. I actually infiltrated one in California and lived with them for a while. And I've learned a lot about cults. That's why you heard me say the only cult you'll never see is the cult you're in. That was something I learned in my studies in many countries on cults, right? Mm-hmm. It's very important to study cults because we're surrounded by cults. Mm-hmm. Many people watching this will definitely be in a cult, right? And sometimes you can be in a cult, in a cult, in a cult, right? It's like a Pushkin doll. You can be in multiple cults simultaneously, right? And it's, which is quite fascinating. But one of the things that we never see is the cult that we are in. We can see everybody else's cult. You know, that poor guy, you know, he's clinging the bells and wearing the crazy stuff. But, you know, but we don't see the one that we're in. And another thing I've learned about cults, powerful cults, they will do anything, right? Anything on planet Earth, right? Including take a death jab and put it in your baby and put it on Instagram, right? I mean, that's like human sacrifice. Look at me. I'm so virtuous. I've sacrificed my baby. They think, you know, I'm saving my baby. That's not really why they're doing it. They're doing it to show their allegiance, right? That's literally human sacrifice. These people that were like, here, my child's getting the jab now. You know, that's straight up out of, you know, there's nothing that people, I tracked down some cannibals in India, actually, that are a member of a cult called Agor. And the people that do it are called Agoris. There was one from Texas. His name was Gary Rayburn Stevenson. He was born on December 3rd, 1950. Wealthy family. His father had been an Army Air Corps officer in World War II, stationed in Papua New Guinea. I've talked with him. I tracked him down. He's gone now. But, you know, I've got photos of him in Papua New Guinea and that sort of thing. But anyway, his son, Gary Stevenson, joined this cult. He ended up becoming a cannibal, right? And he did that because he was trying to cure. He had gotten polio in 1952 in Houston. Now, polio, there was two major outbreaks in that time frame, one in Los Angeles, one in Houston. There were other outbreaks as well. But the two biggest, worst places in the world were Houston and Los Angeles. And the people that were getting it most actually were children of wealthy parents, actually. Not the poor, dirty Irish kids. It was wealthy parents like Gary Stevenson. His family was quite successful. I mean, I've seen some of their photos, their home photo and all that, you know, and he used to tell me about it, but he got polio and he spent the rest of his life trying to cure it because it shriveled his left leg. Right. I tracked him down in India. He had become a fruitarian, a pescatarian, eating only fish. He became a vegetarian, a vegan, all that stuff. And finally he used to joke with me, go, that's when I became, he would wink, a humanitarian, right? So he would eat humans, right? Oh yeah. And he was quite intelligent. He was actually very funny once you got over the fact that I'm actually talking with a cannibal that drinks out of a skull, right? A human skull, right? But what I'm getting to is the people who joined that cult, they literally are doing cannibalism as we talk. I mean, they're out there right now. I mean, I could take you in 2 days and we'd be sitting with them by a fire, right? And a lot of them are actually quite educated, right? Some are not, some are, right? But the point is they're still literally doing cannibalism. I mean, people will do human sacrifice. They'll burn down the entire world if it's in service to their cult, right? They will summon Armageddon if it's in service to what that they want to see unfold, right? And likewise, when it comes to why would they do this? Well, if you were going to get the British royal family, who are not the, you know, brightest souls in the world, you can see them, you know, you would just slowly pull them into your cult. I mean, you've got access to them, and they fall for the cult. They fall for cults just like anybody else does.
Trudeau is the same, right? Trudeau
was an actress. I mean, he was a drama teacher, right? And he has no skills whatsoever. He's just an actress, like many of them are. They were hired for their acting skills. They're hired and they will do absolutely anything. If people were told, if you just do this one thing, you can live forever and you'll be the most pretty or handsome person ever, completely wealthy and powerful. You know, all you have to do is do this thing, you know, like drink children's blood. You'd have people like Clinton doing it. You know what I mean? I'm not saying she has or anything. I'm just saying there are people that would absolutely do it, right? And so it's just a matter of persuading them. Here's the miracle thing, right? And people do that all the time. This isn't far-fetched. It's daily. Look how many people lined up for the death jab. I mean, you know, I mean.
But the propaganda was so strong. And also they captured.
That's how cults are.
Captured the corporations of the United States. And so they were dangling the carrot and the stick. Get this jab, you can have your job, carrot. Don't get this jab, you get fired, stick. So what are people going to do? I'm sure most people didn't want it, but when you put it in that frame, here's your resource, your job to earn money for your family, take the jab. Or if you don't, you're not going to have work. People are going to do, they were under duress and took the jab. It's awful how the corporations were even in on it. The government was in on it. It's just so sick how they, all of us regular everyday people had to suffer under these conditions, because all around the world, it was lockstep, the carrot and the stick. And
the only reason people suffered is because they did not resist.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break.
For those of you that are preppers out there, I've partnered with Prepper All Natural. Prepper offers amazing high quality cooked and freeze dried beef along with long term storage. Eat well today and tomorrow. And you can check out their food at freedomfirstbeef.com. That's freedomfirstbeef.com. And when you're there, use promo code Amber at checkout to save some money. So freedomfirstbeef.com, promo code Amber at checkout.
I'm Abe Hamadeh, and you're watching the Amber May Show.
So all you know out there that Mike Lindell and MyPillow no longer have the support of the big box stores or the shopping channel the way they used to. They've been a part of the big cancel culture going on, and they want to pass the savings right on to you directly. They're having a huge $25 extravaganza sale. So when Mike started MyPillow, it was just a problem solution, one product, and that was it. Well, since then, with the help of his dedicated employees, they now have hundreds of products some of you may not even know about. To get the word out there, they're having a $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillow, $25. Where are you going to find that deal? MyPillow sandals, $25. This is where it gets super good. I love the towel set. The six-piece towel set, $25. You can't even get that price at Walmart for a six-piece towel set. The towels are out of this world. Brand new four-pack dish towels, and you guessed it, just $25. And for the very first time, the premium MyPillow with the all-new Giza fabric, any size, any loft level, even king size, just $25. This amazing offer won't last long, so order now. Just go to MyPillow.com. Or call 1-800-957-2123. That's 1-800-957-2123. And use promo code Amber. And when you do, you'll get free shipping on your entire order today. MyPillow.com. Use promo code Amber.
You are listening to the Amber May Show. And now we return to the show already in progress.
They did not resist. And remember, if you're people that are like, well, if I just take it, they will give me freedom. You're a slave. You think like a slave.
Right.
Now that think like a slave, right? That's why with the British, often when I meet with British and Germans, keep in mind, again, I'll repeat, I've spent most of my life overseas, right? More than 6 years in Europe, right? And many years in Asia and other places, right? And when I'm with, and I know a lot about a lot of different cultures because I'm out mostly with, sometimes I'll go for a month and the only white person I see is when I shave. When I occasionally shave, right? You know, I mean, because I'm not one that's looking in mirrors all the time. Several times this has happened to me numerous times. I'm walking around and I see a white person. I'm like, whoa, I haven't seen a white person in a while. And it doesn't even dawn on me. In other words, I've just been with a lot of people. But sometimes, let's say in Europe, when I'm with Germans or with English, I'll often say, oh, hold on, you're from England, huh? Hold on, can I borrow a pen? Thanks, I'll write something down. I'll put it in my pocket. All right. Within 30 minutes, they always want to bring up guns, right? They always want to bring, because they want to see where you're at with guns. Germans and English do this. And I don't see, you know, Japanese never do it. Chinese never do it. Thais never do it. It wouldn't even dawn on them, right? And but so then I'll pull out the paper and say, oh, you were going to ask me about guns. And they're like, how'd you know that? I said, because I have been with you people so much. Ich spreche Deutsch. I speak German fluently, right? You know, so I've been with English so much. I speak my English is I speak it passably, right? It's like you can't resist bringing up guns. And I'm going to tell you what: the reason we have guns is not to go hunt deer, it's not to go hunt Chinese. We have guns because of Germans and English, and that's the ones who always are still trying to take my guns. You're always trying to make me feel bad about having a gun, and it doesn't work. I look at you as what you are, which is a slave. You're a slave. You are a slave. You are not only want to give up all of your power, you're the one always asking, what are we permitted to do? Why don't you just do it, right? You know what I mean? I mean, you have to seize your freedom, right? That's not even in their mindset, most of them. Some of them it is. But it's the same problem with Canada. It's a nanny state, right? Canadians, I get along with great. I always have. But for a year, I've traveled with Canadians quite a lot and spent a lot of time. I was just up in Canada again for almost a couple of weeks, I'd say. But they do have a slave mentality overall, right? their idea of freedom. I traveled with Canadians quite a lot before I went off to the wars, and they would talk about how great their medical system was. That was back when they thought it was great, right? They would say how bad the American system was. I'm like, wait a minute, you guys are already going to the United States all the time for your treatment.
Yes, you need. Because but now it's 10 times dialysis tech, and we had Canadians all the time coming to our country because they couldn't get dialysis in Canada.
Yeah, and so, but and one thing I would always bring up to them is, let's be crystal clear. You do not have freedom of speech, period, in Canada. You are not free. If you're not even free to speak your mind, you are a slave. We are not equals, and you will not talk to me like an equal that I should give up my guns, because I'm not going to give it up. And if you come to get it, you will get it, right? I mean, the bottom line is, this is what it's all about. We have to seize our freedom, right? And I will not be talked down to by people who ask their government for permission for everything. They're like, oh, you savages, you only have those guns because it's your ego. You feel small and all that. Come get it. Come and get it, right? Come and get it, right? You know, let me show you how small we actually feel. I hope I had at least two grandfathers who fought in the Revolutionary War. One of them, I think, fought the Royal Green Jackets, which is a British in North Carolina. I was with that unit, the Green Jackets, in Afghanistan and Iraq. And I said, you know, I hope my grandfather put a ball into your grandfather's chest. I mean, I love you now. You know, we're all great allies and stuff. But deep down inside, you guys are still gun grabbers. You know what I mean? That's what you are. I mean, you know it. You know what I mean? You know, it's funny. I was in Cambodia one time. I was traveling with an Australian and a Canadian, actually, and some Belgians and Dutch, right? It was a group of us. And they would always bring up the gun thing. And I would be the only one. And I would fight my corner at the table. I'd be like, nope. You're all Europeans except for you Aussies. And you're Europeans too. And the Canadians, you're Europeans as well. Love you, but you know, you're Europeans, right? So we are separate. you know, people say Canada is not Europe. I'm like, I get it. Trust me, but it is. So trust me on that too. You don't have to trust me. Just go see. But the bottom line is they always wanted to talk about taking our guns. Now we were in Cambodia at one point during these travels. And in Cambodia, you can come and rent like an M60 machine gun or an M16 rifle or hand grenade, RPGs. You know what I mean? You can literally rent the, oh yeah, you can shoot an RPG. You can throw hand grenades. You can rent an the M60 machine gun. It's the Rambo gun. They call it the Rambo. You can shoot the Rambo, you know. The machine gun. I used to shoot those when I was in the Army. We still had those. They're really heavy and they're, anyway, but the bottom line is this one Belgian guy, he's like, you talked about that range where you can shoot the guns. I want to go and I want to shoot, but don't tell the others. He was just totally like we're going to go smoke crack together or something. You know what I mean? It's like, hello, like, why are you so ashamed of guns? He's like, if I do that, they will think terrible things about me. I'm like, well, I think terrible things about them. I mean, actually on some levels, I like them. But on that slave part, we depart. You know what I mean? And stand your ground, man. Be a man. You know what I mean? Stand your ground. Who cares what they think? Like here at Yasukuni Shrine in Japan. You know, I said this in front of the Diet yesterday, which is their parliament. Not their whole parliament. Just it was a room with about, I counted them, 54 people, right? And there was about 10 congressmen and senators, right? And so the equivalent, Japanese equivalent. And they asked me to speak, which came out of the blue. And anyway, I did. And either that one or a couple hours later, I did a private thing with another one of their Diet members in his office. We did about an hour and a half talk, right? And I said, listen, Yasukuni Shrine is like the Japanese Arlington, right? Now, I want to say something very clear for those who know a little bit about Arlington and a little bit about Yasukuni. I have gotten 1,000 messages over the years. Whenever I compare Yasukuni with Arlington, people will say, Arlington's not like Yasukuni. You don't know anything about Yasukuni, right? And I'm like, okay, whatever. I've been to Yasukuni quite a lot. I got a private briefing there by the top Shinto priest there. You know what I mean? I've read every single English letter in the museum, which takes hours and hours to take all day, right? I've been there quite a lot. I'm actually quite familiar with it. And so I often ask these experts, so-called experts, how many people are actually buried at Yasukuni, right? Anytime I ask them that, I'm like, okay, you obviously know a lot about Yasukuni. How many Japanese are buried there? How many people are buried there? And they'll be like, I don't know, a lot. And I'm like, actually, the answer would be zero, right? There's nobody buried there. So obviously, you don't know what you're talking about. It is the Japanese equivalent of Arlington, right? It's very important, right? It's extremely important. It's where the Japanese honor their war dead. Now, the Japanese and Shinto religion, which seems possibly kind of derivative of Christianity and Judaism, which is, anyway, it's a separate story. I just had a long briefing the other night with an expert on that here in Japan. But anyway, it's something we've been looking at for years. But and anyway, they believe that when people are dead, when they die, that everybody's equal. It doesn't matter if you were the emperor or you were somebody on the street. Everyone is equal after death. That includes war heroes and war criminals and everybody. Everybody's dead. Actually, which is interesting because that was kind of, anyway. But so at Yasukuni, when you go there, they're giving respects to passenger pigeons. They're giving respects.
How does that relate to Arlington?
Oh, I'll tell you, because Arlington is our national cemetery, right?
Right.
And so if a president refused to go to Arlington, or if a member of Congress refused to go to Arlington, I would say, you are filth. You know what I mean? I will resist you at every stage. And why do the Japanese refuse to go to Yasukuni? Why? Yasukuni Jinja, shrine, right? Even the emperor won't go, right? And I said this during yesterday. Anyway, listen, the reason they won't go, because I've asked many of them, I've been in the Diet before, which is, again, their parliament. I've talked with those guys all the time, right? And the reason they won't go is because they're afraid of what China will say and what the leftists will say. And I'm like, that is absolutely, listen, that's cowardice. And cowards are natural traitors. You will never find a greater traitor than with the basis of being a coward. That is the base. I mean, it's unbelievable. Cowardice is an open door to treason. You won't go to Yasukuni because you're afraid of what China will think. You're afraid of what the leftists will think. Who are you? Who do you work for? Are you working for the Chinese? And so when I've said this on interviews in Japan as well. Japanese get fired up. They're like, you're saying what we won't say. Thank you for saying it, right? Mm-hmm. You can see the physical reactions of Japanese when I say that.
Well, let me ask you this question.
And I tell them, look, if somebody will not go to Yasukuni, don't vote for them, period. Yeah. Don't even listen to anything else they say. I'm not even letting you in the door until you go to Yasukuni.
Before I let you go, I want to circle back to the United States and us being in war. What do you think is the most important information we need to know in regards to the United States and the war that we're in?
Nobody's here to save you. Trump's not going to save you. He's a globalist like Biden is. Now, people get angry when I say that, but Trump also pushed the jab. Now, I get it. Now, people say he didn't actually force you to take it. And I'll say Pablo Escobar didn't force people to take cocaine. They'll say, well, that's not equivalent. I'm like, is it not? He's saying it's the best jab in the world, right? He's like, millions of people hear that. They're like, well, you know, Trump says it's the best thing in the world. He pushed it as well. Biden is Biden. I wouldn't vote for him if he was the last human on earth, right? Mm-hmm. And obviously RFK, he's a gun grabber, right? And I mean, it's like, let's face it. And I know quite a few people right next to RFK and Trump, actually. I don't know anybody next to Biden. And they probably, I don't know why I don't know anybody next to Biden. But the other is I just know him because it's the circles I run in. And so, but it's quite interesting. And the RFK people are always like, well, he won't really take your guns. I'm like, yeah, he really will. I've heard RFK is as deeply blue as I am conservative. I grew up in Winter Haven, Florida. If you want to see deep, deep conservative, it's actually, that's the aquarium I came from. It's part of my soul. It will not wash out, right? I am that deeply inside at the mitochondrial level. Likewise, I sense that in him when it comes to gun grabbing. Notice that RFK, when it comes up to him, he'll say things like, I won't take your guns. I'm like, okay, that was mealy mouth talk. We don't have time for it. Be a man. Talk in straight words. Talk in straight words like, I will defend the entire Constitution, including the First Amendment, the Second Amendment. I will defend your right to bear arms. I will defend it. Not, I will not take your guns. That's, you're telling me you'll take my guns. That's what you just said in crystal clear terms, right? I'm used to being around people that know how to actually say things in clear terms. And he does too. I read his book, The Real Anthony Fauci. It was a great book. I recommended it. Actually, the person who led the translation team, I was with, and from English to Japanese, I was with him yesterday and the day before. We know all the circles, right? Mm-hmm. I know, and I read his book. I read RFK's book, The Real Anthony Fauci. Great book. He knows how to talk in direct terms. Mm-hmm. He knows what it's like, right? And yet he refuses to do that on Second Amendment. That's a big deal for me. We are in a state of war.
How does that affect us as U.S. citizens? Like, what do we need to be doing? What do we need to know for the war? Because these are our choices for president. But what do we need to know? What do we need to do for war? Because, like we both said in the very beginning of this episode, we're at war. Our borders are open. We have people, all kinds of people coming through, enemies, drugs, all kinds. What do you think is the most important as we wrap up on today's episode?
It's going to get extremely bloody. We've already crossed the Rubicon. There's no way out of this. That's pretty. There's no way. It's too late. I mean, we've been warning and warning and warning and warning. I mean, Alex Jones, I don't know if Alex is crazy. I don't think he is. I've met him quite a few times. I think he's just been warning people for so long. If anything, it might drive him crazy. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm not saying he's right on everything. He's obviously strikes out sometimes in big ways. But when you really just randomly look at some of his old stuff, before I went on a show, I looked at a lot of his old stuff because I didn't follow him until I started listening when I came back to America in 2020. I returned to the United States in 2020 after having been, most of my adult life overseas. But I came back because I thought the United States was going into civil war. Mm-hmm. And so I went straight to Portland. I went straight out there with Antifa and those clowns, you know, fighting at the courthouse downtown in Portland and watching what they're doing. And they're a bunch of drug addicts. I mean, Antifa, talk about low. Did you see that guy just set himself on fire? Matt Bracken sent me something this morning, the former Navy SEAL. Matt Bracken and I went down to the Darien Gap together. He did great. He's a former SEAL officer, actually. But Matt Bracken sent me something this morning saying that the guy that said that Antifa guy that just set him, or he said that the guy that just set himself on fire in front of the Trump courthouse, he said he's an Antifa guy. Matthew is pretty accurate. So let's wait to see if that's truthful. But generally, if Matt sends me something, it's pretty high level that he's checked it out. I just saw it and I went on the air with you. But anyway, the guy poured gas on himself and did the Buddhist monk thing right in front of the courthouse. Right. Mm. So anyway, what I'm getting to is, remember, people in a cult will do anything, including fly airplanes into buildings. If that's what really happened, they'll do anything. They'll kill their own children. They'll feed their children to crocodiles. This has happened many times in the Sundarbans in Bangladesh and India. They will do anything. They'll sacrifice their firstborn, right? There's nothing at all that they will not do, including set themselves on fire, right? And so where do we go with this? We can clearly see the highest form of warfare is information warfare. Mm-hmm. And our enemies know how to create cults, and they can do it quite quickly, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's somewhat formulaic, actually, right? Mm-hmm. There's some art involved, but there's a lot of science involved. So it's kind of, you know, at some point, art and science just become like the same thing. Mm-hmm. They're kind of inseparable, actually. And like mathematics and art are like the same thing, you know? And but the bottom line is they're using every art and artifice to brainwash us, mm-hmm. right? To make us do their bidding, to make us into willing slaves, right? And it's been very effective with I spent more than 6 years in Europe, all over the place. Mm-hmm. And I love going there and that sort of thing. But they are, you know, it's a continent of slaves with pretending that they're free. And likewise with the United States, a lot of now, you know, when I went up to Canada, I went ice fishing 2 weeks ago when we were in Northern Canada. Mm-hmm. And we were researching the thing up there. So we took a night and went ice fishing. And it says, there's like thousands of lakes up there. It's like, you know, you see how many craters are on the moon, big ones. It's even more than that. There's so many lakes, you can't believe it. Look on Google Earth. But you need a fishing license up there. You know what I mean? It's like, you know what I mean? It's just like the government's just taking over every little thing. So to go ice fishing, you need to get a fishing license, a compliance license, right?
Same here in the United States, you have to have
a fishing license. It is. You have to get a license to cut hair, but you want to invade the country? Have fun. You know what I mean? Right. It's like, you know, yeah.
Well, yeah. Michael, thank you so much.
$20 and you can go for like 2 years. $2 million? Well, you know, if you give half local judge and everybody else decisions, you can keep the other $10 million, you know.
Well, I want to thank you so much for spending time today. You've had so many life experiences, and I thank you for sharing that on today's episode.
Thank you for having me on. And anytime, I'll be in Japan for a while. I'm going to shoot over to Taiwan and then back to Japan and then back to Europe or the United States.
Wonderful. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today on the Amber May Show. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please make sure you like, share, and subscribe. And if there's someone that came to mind, please share this episode with them. Please follow us on Telegram at the Amber May Show, True Social Amber May, Frank Socially Amber May, or Clout Hub. I can't wait to see you next time on the Amber May Show.